Good morning and welcome. It's good to see everybody here. Can you hear me in the back there? Okay, Bernard? We're all right. Okay. It is good to see everybody. Bonnie and I missed you last week. Bonnie was able to actually see Rob and Kathy, and so we just met up in a different state. I was sick, so I have missed being able to worship the Lord, and I'm thankful to be here this morning and to be able to do that. We're going to continue our theme for the year, which is just an incredibly important theme, and I would assume that every theme for the year we have is important. We're not going to say one year, hey, let's talk about Paul's parchments. I don't think that's going to be a theme for the year, but 2 Peter chapter 1 is an incredibly important theme, because last year we looked at walking by faith, and we've observed so many times Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. You have to have faith. But then 2 Peter chapter 1 says, and you have to add to your faith. And so that has been our theme for this year, is the things we're supposed to add to our faith. And if you look at the context in 2 Peter chapter 1, we're really looking at verses 5 through 7 as our primary focus for the year. But there's the things in verses 3 through 4 and verses 8 through 11, and some of which Barry has been talking about on Wednesday nights. It talks about all the promises that come if we will focus on these attributes. These 8 attributes, starting with faith, and then the 7 that you add to your faith. If we will focus on these attributes, we get everything pertaining to life and godliness. We get to partake in the divine nature. We get to be useful to God. We get this promise that says, you will never stumble. We get this promise that says you will have entrance into the eternal kingdom abundantly supplied to you. It means you get to heaven. Here's 8 things to focus on. Have them and be increasing in them. And I hope that at this point, as we reach June and we're pretty much halfway through the year, I hope that you can list from memory these virtues. Because it's one of those rare times when God just says, here, focus on this short list. We love lists. A short list. Focus on it, and you'll get here. You'll get where you want to go. And so what we've looked at to start off, in the first 2 months, we just focused on some aspects around the list. We looked at the need for us to grow. No matter where we're at, no matter how long we've been Christians, no whether you have or would consider yourself a weak Christian, or whether you would consider yourself a really strong Christian, no matter where you're at, you need to grow. We need to be improving and increasing in all of these attributes. And then we talked about diligence and the fact that we need to be putting forth the effort. I mean, come on, 8 things, you get to heaven. Put forth the effort to grow in these aspects. And then we finally got into the qualities, the virtues. And we looked at moral excellence, this attribute of goodness that says, I will do what is good. Whatever it is, I'm going to do the right thing. A determination to be right. And then we talked about knowledge and growing in our understanding of what is right and who is God. And then last month we focused on self-control, this great challenge and battle we have against ourselves, and to be our own masters of our will and our choices and our lives. And what we want to do this week then, this month, is we're going to add to that next list. And if you're looking at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, in your knowledge, they add self-control, and in your self-control, well, you add perseverance. And so we're going to talk about perseverance. And I'm not going to challenge your mind very much this morning. I really just want to challenge your heart, your resolve. This is not a really complicated message. Don't quit. That's your message. That's really perseverance. What does perseverance mean? Well, if you go back to the root word, if you go back to how it starts, it actually just means to stay. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 43, you remember when Jesus was just a little boy? And he stayed in Jerusalem and everybody else went off, his family left. That word stayed, it was persevere. It was endure. I mean, that's the root concept. It's just stay where you are. No matter who's leaving, no matter what other anybody else is doing, you stay where you are. And the same thing happens in Acts chapter 17, verse 14, where some of Paul's companions, they stayed in the city and Paul went on. That idea of perseverance is to stay, not in one location, but on one path. It is to stay the course. Paul uses a totally different term, but same concept. Paul looks at, in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 and verse 14, he looks at his spiritual circumstance, and despite the fact that he is an apostle and he has stood up and proclaimed the name of Christ on so many occasions and done so many amazing things, and we look up to Paul, he looked and said, but I haven't reached my goal. I'm not there yet. I'm not to the end, and so I press on. That's staying the course. That's perseverance. And so if he would go into a town and the people, and this happens, the people drag him outside the town and throw rocks at him until they think he's dead, but he's not dead. He stays the course. He keeps preaching. He gets up and he keeps teaching. That's perseverance. Perseverance is not quitting, no matter the obstacles, but it implies something. Perseverance implies challenges in front of us. There will be obstacles. There will be a desire to quit. Satan's number one goal for almost everyone in this room is to get you to quit, one way or the other, to get you off the path. Other terms that might be translated from this perseverance word might be endurance or patience or steadfast. And perhaps in that steadfast, you can see it. Stay fast. Hold to this path. That's all that it is. This sermon is. I could quit right now. Well, that would be weird. The sermon is, don't quit. Now I quit. But really, that's it. Don't quit. God emphasizes this point. He wants you to understand that endurance is absolutely essential. You see, it's not enough to start the race, and I want you to keep that in mind. Sometimes we are so focused on getting people wet, we're missing the real goal. We're so focused on getting people to be baptized. That's really important, because you can't finish a race unless you start it. But our goal is not to get people wet. It's not to get people to start the race. The goal is to get people to finish, to get people to heaven, to get people to God. So it's not enough that you at some point were baptized. That's not enough. We must have perseverance, which means we must go on and continue and never quit. We start the race, we must not finish it. James chapter 1 and verse 4 illustrates the importance of this. It even tells us to consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And now in verse 4, he explains the importance of endurance. Let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That sounds a lot like what was in 2 Peter chapter 1. You will never stumble. You're going to be complete. And it centers around this idea of endurance. The ability to stand firm in Christ no matter what will make us better Christians. Make us complete Christians. Now, as I said, God wants to emphasize this point. So I'm going to throw eight verses up here, eight different passages, in which I think you'll see the theme. The theme here is endurance matters. God keeps trying to tell us to understand you've got to continue on no matter what you face, no matter how hard it gets. You must continue on, no quit. So in Matthew 10 verse 22, almost word for word, we're quoted again in Mark 13 verse 13. You will be hated by all because of my name, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. Don't quit. Matthew 24, because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. Don't quit. Luke 21, 16 through 19, but you will be betrayed even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all because of my name, yet not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. Don't quit. Romans 2, 6 through 7, God, who will render to each person according to his deeds, to those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Don't quit. 2 Timothy 2, verse 12, just the first part of the verse. If we endure, we will also reign with him. We will rule. Don't quit. Hebrews 10, 32 through 39. But remember the former days when, after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings. A great conflict of sufferings. Partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulation, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. You must have endurance to get the prize. Don't quit. James 1, verse 12. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Don't quit. And finally, Revelation 2 and verse 10, do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. So Jesus is telling us, yes, it's going to be hard. Yes, Satan has targeted you. Don't quit, and you win. Don't quit. That's it. That's our message. It's really simple. Somebody says, what was Jared's sermon about? I hope you can answer it. Don't quit. No matter what we face, we must persevere no matter what we face. Well, we might be like Job, and he has the example. He showed us he lost everything, all of his property, all of his loved ones, and his health. He lost it all. But what is stated about Job in James chapter 5, verse 11, is that he persevered, and he was victorious. Look at this, James 5 and verse 11. This is what we're supposed to get from this. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. The Lord was not full of compassion and merciful towards Job at the beginning. In other words, he didn't get the reward. He didn't get the prize. He didn't get the victory at the beginning. He got it at the end of the book. After he didn't quit. After he went through all of the challenges and all of the pain and all of the rejection. But once he kept going to the very end, that's when God blessed him with more than he'd had before. So we must not quit. What must we face? Well, we might face intimidation. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, we already read this. That was put up there. He says, all will hate you because of my name. They're going to hate us. The people of the world, they're not all going to love us. They're not all going to like us. They're going to hate us. And 1 Peter 3 and verse 14. Even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. The world wants you to quit. Satan wants you to quit. Get used to it. I like being liked. I want the people in the world to like me. And so this is a challenge. But it's one I have to accept and one we have to acknowledge. And that is, they're not all going to like us. In fact, some of them, they're not even going to be just a little, well, he's okay. They're going to despise us because of what we believe and because of what we do. We have to endure their intimidation. They're threats. But sometimes it's not threats. Sometimes it's actual action. And they will persecute us and they will cause us pain and discomfort. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32, what was it that it said there? It said, remember the former days when you be... Yes, when you endured a great conflict of sufferings. They endured a tremendous challenges. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 13... This is among the passages I talk to when somebody first becomes a Christian. The parable of the sower and the seeds. And the reason why I talk about it is, yes, you've started, but so many who start fail. And here's part of why they fail. In verse 13, those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and they have no firm root, they believe for a while, and in time of temptation, they fall away. Time of persecution, when it gets hard, that's when they quit. Or perhaps it's just the temptation and distraction of the world. There's just other things to do that just make people wander away. Some people leave church because they decide they hate God. Some people leave church because they found something else they need to be doing at the moment. Neither of those are persevering. They're both quitting, just in different ways. So the next verse, that we were in verse 13 of Luke 8, Luke 8 and verse 14. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with the worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. It may not even be sinful things. It's just things of the world that we have to endure, that we have to overcome. And maybe it's discouragement. We had this read for us too, Matthew 24, verses 12 through 13. We specifically looked at verse 13. It probably sounds familiar. The one who endures to the end, he will be saved. Verse 12. Because lawlessness has increased, most people's love will grow cold. We have to endure a world that gets darker and darker and darker. And have you not seen that? Have you not witnessed our country? And it's not on this highway path to righteousness, but jumping off a cliff towards wickedness. And the thing that can cause us to do is to want to quit, to want to give up. And our love for the world, our love not for the world, but for the people of the world, for love for their souls, can so easily dry up. But Jesus tells us, don't quit. And maybe the thing we're going to endure is just time itself. If we go back to Luke chapter 8, in the parable of the sower and the seeds, when he finally gets to the good soil, this Christian that becomes what God wants them to become, he says, but the seed and the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Now, there's some different ways that you could translate that, but I believe the basic concept is you don't bear fruit right away. It takes time, and some people aren't willing to wait. They're not willing to wait until they become what God wants them to become. But you want to know what this list should really say? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what we face. It doesn't matter where it comes from. It doesn't matter if it's the entirety of the United States that stands up in opposition to us. It doesn't matter whether they're making threats against us or throwing us in prison or having us killed. It doesn't matter whether it is the pleasures of the world, whether it's all the wealth in the world being offered to you. It doesn't matter whether the temptations and the trials we are facing are internal and it is just things that you are feeling inside you. It doesn't matter where it comes from or what it is. What God wants from us is perseverance. Don't quit. The obstacle doesn't matter. The resolve to overcome them does. So don't worry about what you're going to face in the world. Don't worry about what challenges you're going to face. Just understand, this week, Satan wants you to quit. And he's going to do what he can to make you quit. Whether that is trying to offer you a better life, or trying to make this life a miserable life, or whatever he can do, he's going to try to make you quit. What we need to remember is simply this. Don't quit. stay the course. Now, perseverance is here in our list, and all of these other attributes, they're interrelated, and perseverance is no exception. Perseverance on its own is worthless. It is not some morally good direction. It's just the resolve to go a direction and never quit. The people of Israel had tremendous perseverance for evil. God kept sending them prophet after prophet after prophet saying, get on the right path. And they're like, no, we like the wicked path. And so they persevered to their destruction. Perseverance by itself is not good. But perseverance on the right direction is absolutely necessary. Now you go through our list, moral excellence. Well, each thing on our list is going to face obstacles. And each one must be maintained despite those obstacles. So we have moral excellence. It's not enough to be good for one moment or for one day. What God wants is that to be who we are constantly. And so you have to persevere in this moral excellence. Knowledge. Well, I'll get to this. Knowledge. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Not even for the people downstairs, because I couldn't see anyway. But how many of you have started the Read the Bible in the Year plan at some point and not finished? You know what? It takes work. It takes time. And there will always be obstacles. And so if we're going to grow in knowledge, we have to have perseverance in the pursuit of knowledge. Self-control, boy, that's a perseverance one. You will never conquer yourself. You might defeat yourself, defeat the challenges that you have within you. You might do it for a moment, but yourself is still there. When we become Christians, the flesh is still alive and kicking and challenging us. It will always be tempting us. It will always be trying to get us to do the wrong thing. Self-control requires perseverance. Saying no to temptation once is not the victory. It's a victory. And so we have to persevere. We have to say no the next time and no the next time. We have to not quit. And if you go on into the list, and I don't want to go too far down the list, but let's go to the end. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 7. Love endures all things. It's part of the definition of love. Love requires perseverance. All of these things on their list, they're all interrelated. We must have perseverance. Now remember, if we're looking at 2 Peter chapter 1, and after the list finishes in verse 8, it says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither fruitless, neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Which leads us to towards the end of the lesson, this big question then, how do we increase in perseverance? Well, we must increase. In fact, we must pursue that process. And 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11, Paul tells Timothy, he says, flee from these things. That was all of the false doctrines of before. That was discontentment from before. That was the pursuit of wealth, love of money. He says, flee from those things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. It's one of the things that we're supposed to be pursuing is the stronger ability to keep going. And I submit that when we're trying to pursue and grow in perseverance, what we're also trying to pursue in is the ability to better endure. Not just to not quit, but to not quit better. Consider Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, the apostles are arrested for their faith. They're arrested for preaching Jesus. And then they're flogged for it. And released. Which is just a brilliant concept. We find nothing wrong with you. We're going to beat you to within an inch of your life. Off you go. And their response is they went their way rejoicing. Now if they had gone their way and kept preaching, that's endurance. But they went their way and rejoiced, which means they kept preaching, but they also had this great attitude about it, this great positive attitude that looked at it as an honor. That's perseverance, professional level. That's what we're growing towards. One is don't quit, but the other one is to do it with style. To not quit with energy and zeal rather than complaining. I keep going, but I hate it. Instead, to have joy. So how are we going to get that? I have bad news for you. You can't take the perseverance pill. You know, it's all the time I see it on TV where it's, how do you lose weight? And they always offer these pills. There's no pill. There is no pill for perseverance. Tribulation is what brings about perseverance. If you consider, I'm closer to Romans. Romans 5 and verse 3. James 1 verse 3 basically says the same thing, same concept. It says, not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. We get stronger by facing challenges. We're not going to get better at not quitting by sitting around in a room and saying, hey, we're not going to quit. We got to get out there and face some things. To get stronger and more capable of not quitting. A few Wednesday nights ago, Barry, when he was going through this particular term of perseverance, he spent a little bit of time in Hebrews 10, and I want to, Hebrews 12, because I believe Hebrews 12 is key to understanding how we increase in this. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 tells us to run this race with endurance. But the context tells us how. It says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So here we want to run this race with endurance. It's a picture of a marathon, a long, long race, and you've got to go through the pain to get to the end. How do you do it? Well, the first thing you do is you set aside what holds you back. Don't make it any harder than it needs to be. I have never seen somebody running a marathon with a big old backpack that they brought their books from the library. It's like, well, I was coming home from the library. I saw this marathon. I said, why not? And jumped in. I've never seen that. Have you seen runner shoes? Have you picked them up? It's like picking up air. It's amazing. I want those shoes. I don't want to run, but I want those shoes. You set aside the things that are heavy in your life, the things that are pulling on you, saying, stay here. We have to set aside the passions for the world because it's just pulling on you to quit. So in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, he talks about this pursuit of wealth. This love of money. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. They have brought pain on themselves, and they make it harder to do what's right because of what they're pursuing, in addition to what they're pursuing. I'm pursuing God and wealth. That's a painful life. And you're giving Satan something to pull on you with. So in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 4, Paul tells Timothy, he says, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. You want to not quit, you got to take away the things you want to quit for. No longer want those things. You want to run the race with endurance, we have to look to the future with joy and hope. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, this is a passage written to new Christians. They hadn't been Christians very long at all. I mean, a few weeks, maybe a few months. But he says about them, he's constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in your Lord, in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. Look what this does. Faith works. Love labors. And hope steadfasts. I don't know that steadfasts is a verb, but I just made it one. Hope steadfasts. What hope does is it gives you the strength to go on, to press on, to not quit. So when you go back to Hebrews, this is what Jesus did. He gives us the example then, and after he tells us to run the race with endurance, verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. He looked to the future, he looked to the joy, and that's how he endured the cross. You ever think about that? I'm sure you do. We partake of the Lord's Supper weekly. I'm sure you think about Jesus on the cross. Nails in his hands, blood coming down, people spitting and mocking and growling and just the worst things you can imagine. Think of that pain and that shame and then realize not a thing there was holding him up. Nothing had the power to keep Jesus on the cross. If you had somebody ready to put nails in your hands, and you had the ability to say, no, stop, wouldn't you? What would it take to allow someone to do that to you? What would it take for you to keep enduring that for hours when at any moment you could say, that's enough? And for Jesus, and it's the same thing for us, he didn't look at the pain. He didn't look at the suffering and the shame and the absolute injustice of it all. He looked at the joy to come. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross. We must look to heaven. We must dream about heaven. We must make heaven our number one goal. To be with God, to have eternal life. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. Eternal life with God. Nothing on this earth should be able to persuade us to quit on that course. Stay on that course. Do whatever you want to me, I'm going to heaven. I won't quit. That's the attitude we need to have. And in addition with that, not as powerful as the pull of heaven, but if you're back in Hebrews chapter 12, the other joy, the other hope that we have is, I'm getting stronger with this. You're trying to destroy me, but you're just making me stronger. He says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7, it is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there with whom his father does not discipline? But then down verse 11, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. I'm getting stronger. I will endure because there's a better future. I'm going to be a better person. But I'll be honest, the hope of heaven's a lot more powerful for me. It helps me not quit. Well, then the other thing is here to follow the example. He says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses, go back through Hebrews chapter 11, and you'll notice something, that it's not just a chapter about faith, it's a chapter about endurance. The end of Hebrews chapter 10 is endurance. The beginning of Hebrews chapter 12 is endurance. What do you think's in the middle? It's also about what these people had to face, and by faith, they wouldn't quit. That's perseverance. It's endurance. They kept the course until the very end. And we follow the examples. And then it says, here's Jesus. He's our example. He didn't quit for God. He didn't quit for you. He set the example. Don't quit. So many examples in the Bible. And so many examples in this room. People that have gone through tremendous pain and have not quit. And we should look at them and say, neither will I. You can endure. They did it. I can do it. I will do it. And I'll add last, what we can do is we can pray. What I find interesting about the prayers is not for our own perseverance, but for the perseverance of the people around us. We should pray for each other that we will not quit. So in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. He says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you..." Now, there's going to be a lot of things in here, but follow through with it. Here's what he's asking for. "Ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father." So I'm praying that you grow in knowledge, that you grow in righteousness, that you grow in power. And here's why: I'm praying so that you will be more steadfast, so that you will not quit. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5. "May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ." Here's just Paul's prayer. His prayer is that you will be as not quitting as Jesus. So these are things we can do. And so this week, today, and whatever time you're granted, please understand Satan's primary goal with you is to get you to quit. And he'll do anything. He'll offer anything. And God has told us, if you want the prize, if you want the promise, if you want heaven, if you want eternal life, you've got on this course, now don't quit. And so that's the challenge for us this week and this month and the rest of our lives. However long we live, whatever we face, wherever it comes from, don't quit. No matter what. Thank you for your time and your attention. If there are any here who are not Christians, you can't finish the race if you don't start it. And so we offer you an opportunity to become Christians with an understanding this is just the beginning. You can have your sins forgiven. You become a child of God, but it's just the beginning. If you're resolved to finish the race, then why not start it? If you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized into him for the forgiveness of your sins, and start this race with us. And together, brothers and sisters, together, let us finish. And if there's any here who have gotten sidetracked, who have not stayed the course, but have fallen away for sin or something else, why, we encourage you to come forward, confess that, be forgiven, and get back on the track with us. And we want to help you. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?
Jesus, the loving shepherd.
Testing 1, 2, 3. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't.